take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Judges, chapter 1. Judges, chapter 1. We'll read verses 1 through 7 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Judges, chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Judges chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. And Judah said unto Simeon his brother, Come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites. And I likewise will go with thee into thy lot. So Simeon went with him. And Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand. And they slew of them in Bezek 10,000 men. And they found Adoni-Bezek in Bezek, and they fought against him, and they slew the Canaanites and the Perizzites. But Adoni-Bezek fled, and they pursued after him, and caught him, and cut off his thumbs and his great toes. And let's finish on verse 7 together. Ready? And Adoni-Bezek said, 70 kings, having their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gather their meat under my table, as I have done. So God hath requited me. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being in this place. Lord, may we never take for granted the fact of your presence being here. Holy Spirit of God, please move upon our hearts tonight. Move through our preacher. Use the message that you have met with him about to change us so that we could help others, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
The sermon this evening is a truth that I would wish upon no one, nor should you. You see, tonight's truth is a prophecy that I have watched fulfilled over and over again. I hope that you never have to face the truth or the result of this truth. The sermon is called God Will Requite. God Will Requite. I'll read to you two verses. You've already read them together, but let me read them to you again. Judges chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, it says, But Adoni-Bezek fled, and they pursued after him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and his great toes. And Adoni-Bezek said, 70 kings had their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table, as I have done, so God hath requited me. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. Listen very carefully as I tell you of a bit of an unknown story in the Bible. It will unfold to a truth and a warning to all of us that are Christians. This man by the name of Adoni-Bezek was a very cruel king. He was the king of the Canaanites. He took great pleasure in torturing his captured victims. When he captured enemy kings, he cut off their thumbs and their big toes. This made them virtually useless then as warriors. Then he made them slaves. These slave kings were required to act like dogs and sit at the master's feet under Adoni-Bezek's dining room table. Adoni-Bezek would be eating a king's feast. All these men that had been captured with their thumbs and toes cut off would be under his table, acting like animals, and he would throw them scraps of food. They would then scramble like hungry mutts after the little scraps of food so they would not starve to death. That is how humiliating he was to those that he captured and tortured. Adoni-Bezek had become known as one of the most cruelest and the most gruesome men in all the world at that time. He led many bloody conquests. Most included the torture of those that he defeated. One day, he challenged an enemy that could not overpower him. His cruelty began to backfire on him. By the way, Colossians 3:25 says, "But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." In other words, be sure your sin will find you out. Adonai Bezek, now he takes on somebody that he couldn't just walk over. And as a result of it, now Adonai Bezek and his army find themselves fleeing for safety. Now he's on the run. The enemy catches him. And payback time comes in the life of this cruel, evil person. The Bible says in Judges chapter 1, it says, "They cut off his thumbs and great toes." And Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings have their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table. As I have done, so God hath requited me. Notice what he said. God hath requited me. The word requited here, it's kind of like the word vengeance. It's kind of like the word payback. It's kind of like the word reaping. Proverbs 26:27 says, "Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. He that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him." There are people that dig a pit for somebody else, and God said, "Watch out. You're going to fall in your own pit." The Bible says here, there are those that would try to roll a stone on someone else and crush them. God said, "Watch out. That stone's eventually going to roll back on you, and it's going to crush you." Adonai Bezek thought that he was getting off scot-free all this time. Here he was. He was rude and evil and was hurting people. And he thought, "I'm going to get off the hook." After all, he was the king. He had position. He had power. He had prestige. He had brains. He had brawn. He had backbone. But he was also full of pride and conceit and evil haughtiness. He gloated in his own little self-centered world. His bitter behavior toward others to him seemed sweet. His wrong toward others in his mind seemed to be right. See, the Bible says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death." Now we see the shoe is suddenly on the other foot. Now suddenly he is being pursued, cornered, and conquered. Numbers 32:23 says, "Be sure your sin will find you out." So you all know, you didn't get away with it. So I fooled you. You didn't fool God. The captor in this story is now the captured. The jailer is now put in jail. The bully is now being bullied. The defeater is now the defeated. Before Adonai Bezek is put to death, he sees it all very clearly. Listen to what he says. He says, "As I have done, so God hath requited me." Finally it came to him. He said, "I had it coming. I had hurt others, and now I'm being hurt." Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." We see this thing of God requiting all the way through the Bible. The payback. God's vengeance. We see it all the way through the Bible. You take, for instance, Pharaoh had had the children of Israel in captivity. The children of Israel were under the leadership of Moses. They had been in captivity. They were slaves there. Finally, through a process of events, God lets the children of Israel out of the captivity. They are now fleeing away from Pharaoh and they're heading toward the Red Sea. Let me tell you something. Pharaoh had hoped that Moses and the children of Israel at best would drown in the Red Sea. He thought that once they got there, they would drown in the Red Sea. Pharaoh gets all of his armies together and says, "Go get them, boy." One thing, though, God requited. And it was Pharaoh's army that needed the lifeguard, not the children of Israel. You see, it is all of Pharaoh's army drowned that day. Why? God pays back. God pays back. The abuse of other people is paid back in full. Haman planned to hang Mordecai, the Old Testament story in the book of Esther. Haman hated Mordecai and hated the Jews, and Haman was close to King Ahasuerus. Haman sets it up and makes it so Mordecai looks unfaithful to the king. Haman actually says, I'm going to build a gallows and we will hang all of these Jews. They're all going to hang. And through, again, a series of events, Esther, Mordecai's niece, steps in and Haman's plot is all spoiled. And in the end, Haman faces the fact that God requites. Because a gallows that was created to hang all the Jews, there was one that hung on it. And it wasn't a Jew. It was Haman, the evil person that struck out to hurt other people. You see, Pharaoh thought that he would get Moses. And God said, you're not going to get Moses. I'll get you before you get Moses. Wow. I'm glad God defends. Haman said, I'll get Mordecai. I'll get him. And what ended up happening is, Haman ended up hanging on the gallows. God said, whoa, I'm going to step in here. You're not going to do that. And God steps in. Daniel's enemies wanted to see to it that he was tossed to the lion's den and devoured. You know what happened? Do you know who the lions ate? Look at the story. God requited. God stepped in. I love the fact that God steps in when evil people attack people. I just love that. I just love that. God requited it, and those, the enemies of Daniel, were the ones that were thrown into the lion's den. I've got good news for you. The lions had lockjaw while Daniel was in the lion's den, but their jaws loosened up quite a bit when the enemy got thrown in. They had the lions had evil stew that night. The wicked Queen Jezebel hated the man of God named Elijah. She treated Elijah like a dog. She virtually did. She hated him. She hunted him. She would have done anything to stop him. She would have tortured him if she would have had the chance. She was out. She wanted him dead. She wanted Elijah dead, the man of God. But God said, sorry, baby. Can't let you do that. Treated him like a dog. You know what the Bible says happened? There came a day when Jezebel was thrown out of a window of her house. She was attacked by wild dogs and eaten alive. It's in the stories in the Bible. Jezebel flavored Alpo. She treated the man of God like a dog, and she was eaten by the dogs. Why? God said, I'm stepping up here. You're going to act like that. I'm not going to let that happen. Thank God that God requites. That's exactly what happened to Adonai's Bezek. And he even faced it. He said, look, I brought this on. I launched the attack. I caused this. And now, look what has come upon me. And the Bible says they cut off his thumbs and his toes. But he died from the wounds. It's not in the Bible, but it could be. You ever heard that old saying, what goes around comes around? It's not scripture, but we could write it in there under Owens chapter 2. What goes around comes around. Your cruel ways have a way of boomeranging. Come back and hit you right square in the face. May not come back when you expect it, but it'll come back. Evil people have terrible eyes. They do. They do. Evil people have terrible eyes. I'm just telling you. People that launch out to hurt other people and they use their tongue or what they use their influence in whatever way, you're going to find out. They have miserable lives. They're never happy. Let me show you some things. The Bible teaches us that God will requite. God will requite in regard to the words that we use. Listen very carefully. The Bible says in Job 6:25, how forcible are right words. Hey, the right kind of words can do a lot of good. The Bible says a word spoken in due season, how good it is, Proverbs 15:23. The Bible says in Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Good words will return to us, but there's a problem. Bad words, bad talk, that's going to come back our way too. Evil words will return your way someday. Psalm 64:8 says, so they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. And what the Bible's teaching? The way you've talked and what you've said and what you've done, that's going to turn around. That's going to bite you. I have a whole sermon entitled, The Man Who Swallowed Himself. There's a passage of scripture in the book of Proverbs that talks about a man who actually swallowed himself. What it meant? He ate his own life. He gobbled up everything about his life by using bad words. He consumed his own life. Let me remind you something about the words that you use. God will requite. What do you mean? Payback. Vengeance. You will reap. God will requite. A man once said, birds are entangled by their feet. Men are entangled by their tongues. James chapter 3, verse number 8 says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. What's it saying? God will requite. Psalm 34:13 says, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Why? God will requite. You will reap. Manure spreaders of the mouth are warned by God. He says in Proverbs 10:18, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. God will requite. Someone asked me this question once. They said, Brother Owens, when people lie to you, why don't you get angrier than what you do? I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for them. You know, when people misrepresent the truth, you take, for instance, Ananias and Sapphira, when they lied to the man of God, you think it really turned out well for them? They both died. When people lie to me, I start praying for them immediately. They're in trouble. Big trouble. What are you going to do? I'm going to do a thing. I'm going to pray that nothing happens, because I'll promise you something. God will requite. God will requite. Ephesians 4:29, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Why? God will requite. Proverbs 26:28 says, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. Here the Bible says, if you're lying to someone, you're virtually showing hatred toward the person you lied to. It says, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. God will requite. Do you want someone to talk about you the way you talk about others? Do you want someone to talk to you the way you talk to others? I just hate it when people must reap what they sow. But God said, I will requite. You will reap what you sow in regard to the words that you use. You see, God will requite in regard to our words. If we're deceptive, if we lie, if we're evil, that's going to come back on us, folks. Well, I don't want that to come back on me. But secondly, God will requite regarding money wrongly gotten. 1 Timothy 6:9, it says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Hey, there's nothing wrong with riches. Riches are not evil. It's what riches can do to us. But there's nothing wrong with riches. And the Bible says here that this is talking about riches wrongly gained. It says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. Here it's saying that someone that lets their money get away from them and it begin to control them and control their behavior, God says, that thing's going to turn around and bite you. You will be trapped and you will drown. It says, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in this destruction. If you're not careful, your desire for riches will make you a very dissatisfied person. You can never get enough. You can never save enough. You can never have enough security. And you will drown in dissatisfaction the rest of your life. You'll go to your grave wishing you had more and that you'd given less. And God is saying God will requite in regard to money, and especially here, especially if the money is ill-gotten, if it's ill-gotten gain. There's a story in the Bible about a man by the name of Gehazi. Gehazi and Naaman were, let me tell you the story. Naaman was a very wealthy captain. Naaman had leprosy. The man of God at that time was a man by the name of Elisha, not Elijah, but Elisha. Elisha had, you might call him a sidekick named Gehazi. Gehazi and Elisha work together. Naaman ends up coming to them, and Naaman says, "I would like to be healed." Now, Naaman was very powerful. Naaman had very, very much money. Well, Elisha helps to heal Naaman. Now, Naaman had brought all sorts of riches and money with him because he was going to pay Elisha for his services. Well, Elisha says to Naaman, he said, "I want you to go out. I want you to dip yourself down 7 times in the river. And when you come up, you're going to be healed." Remember, Naaman had leprosy, a very, very bad disease. He wanted to be healed. He did what the man of God said. When he comes up out of the water the 7th time, he is healed. Naaman says, "Let me give you some money. I've got riches. I mean, you've restored my life. I'm going to pay you for what you have done for me." And Elisha says, "No, I don't want your money. You go on your way. God be with you." So Naaman, all of his men, they take off. They're going on up the road. But Gehazi was greedy. This is Elisha's sidekick. He sneaks off. He jumps on his horse. He rides up the road. He catches Naaman and he lies to Naaman and says, "Sir, my master sends me. He wants some of the money." So Naaman says, "I'm glad to give it to you." And Naaman gives Gehazi this money. But it wasn't for Elisha. It was the fact that Gehazi wanted the money. So there he lied. Here's the thing. God requited. God requited. God didn't let it happen. What happened? 2 Kings chapter 5, verse number 27, it says, "And then Gehazi, and he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow." The leprosy that Naaman had been healed of, God passed it on to Gehazi. Why? Because he was greedy. There he lied. He lied on the man of God. He tried to get that money. It was ill-gotten gain. He might have thought, "Look at that. I got me something out of this. I got me some money by attacking somebody. I increased me." Yeah, but he hurt somebody else to increase himself. And the Bible says he ended up with the leprosy from which Naaman had been healed. Who did you cheat financially? God will requite. Who did you steal from? God will requite. Who did you deceive in some deal? God will requite. Who did you unfairly take advantage of? God will requite. Who did you legally take to the cleaners? God will requite. Hey, are you stealing from God, his tithes and offerings? Just so you know, God will requite. The Bible teaches in Malachi 3:9, it says, "Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation." He's talking about the tithes. And then he goes on to say, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground." The Bible teaches if we give and we give our tithe and our offering like we're supposed to, God will protect our finances. But if we will not, God said, "The devourer will come and I will get my tithe anyway." God will requite. God will requite in regard to the words that we use. God will requite in regard to our money, especially ill-gotten money. Hey, number 3, God will requite in regard to our lust. Galatians 6:8 says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." Now, lust is a fleshly sin. Let me read about a woman here in the Bible. The Bible says in Proverbs 5, it says, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil." Sounds pretty good there. I mean, it's talking about her lips, it's talking about her mouth, and it's talking about smooth oil, and it's real slick, and it's honeycomb. But wait a minute, that's the beginning. Now let's see what else it says. "But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell."
Here is the temptress. Here is a woman that goes after what she wants and figures out a way to get it. She may use her lips. She may use her words. She may use her body to entice and to get something. But wait a minute. God will requite. Because the Bible says your end is bitter. It says here that it actually talks about that her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. The things around her are just shredded to pieces. Just shredded. It says that her feet lead to death. She's going to destroy herself and destroy some other people. Her steps lead the lost man to hell or the saved man to a life of hell. Why? She misuses her words. She misuses her lips. She misuses her body. You see, God said, I will requite. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 25, 26, and 27. Listen, it says, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. I mean, he's down to starvation. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and in his clothes and not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? You may burn in lust, but I'm going to tell you something. You're going to burn yourself up. You're going to destroy yourself. You may say, lust, I mean, I have passion and sex and all of it. I want it. I want to get all of it. I can't at any price with anybody. You may enjoy it for a little while, but God will requite. God said, you may burn a little bit. You may really enjoy yourself a little bit, but you're going to burn up your life. God will requite. Enjoy the moment and then pay for it for a lifetime. Hey, teenager who sneaks around and fornicates, God will requite. Hey, married adult committing adultery, God will requite. Hey, single, unmarried adult that's sleeping with someone you're not married to, God will requite. You say, how? Maybe it'll be disease. Maybe it'll be pregnancy. Out of wedlock. Divorce. Expulsion from school. I don't know. God will requite. He's a just God. He's not a stupid God. He can't be fooled. He can't be deceived. He's already seen it. He already knows about it. You see, the Bible teaches that God will requite. God will requite in regard to our words and our evil. God will requite in regard to getting money from people in a wrong way. God will requite in regard to our lust. The Bible teaches God will requite in regard to the liquor, the booze, and the alcohol traffic. The Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 31 and 32, it says this, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. You see, the Bible teaches here we shouldn't even be looking at liquor. I'm supposed to be looking at it. But it looks good. They put those commercials out there and all the parties and all the fun and everything that goes along with it. You know, the nightlife, the wildlife, the party life. Yeah, let's go to the bar and or just go wherever they've got it. And boy, it's going to be fun. But God said, I will requite. You need to understand, I will requite. It says, in the end, it says here, it bites like a poisonous snake. It'll bite you and it'll poison you. It will sting you. It'll destroy your life. God will requite. The first few drinks make you feel good. The last few leave the taste of vomit in your own mouth. The social drinker sips their wine, martinis, and cocktails in public and then beats their wife and kids in private. The beer drinker is the life of the party at someone's house, but he's the death of someone on the road. The whiskey drinker starts out with a full paycheck and a full fifth. He ends up with an empty bottle, an empty life, and an empty wallet. The outside of the can says Budweiser, but the inside makes old Bud a bit dumber. Heard the story of a man that owned a store and he sold liquor in that store. Someone had said to him, you ought not do that. He said, I don't drink it. He said, yeah, but you're helping people get drunk. And the night that he received a phone call that his wife and daughter were killed by a drunk driver. And he had sold the liquor to the driver. He decided he'd stop selling liquor. Touch late, wasn't it? Why? God will requite. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. We can live in our petty way down here on this earth and act like a bunch of animals and lie to each other and deceive each other and hurt each other and do what we want and think we got you fool me, I fooled you. Boy, we're all just getting away with this. I can break all the rules. I can do what I want, still go to church and smile, act happy, act like a good Christian. You can't fool God. Adonai Bezek did not fool God. Daniel's enemies did not fool God. Pharaoh did not fool God. He said, well, could I buy you off? You can't buy me off, but let me tell you something. Even if you could, you can't buy God off. God will requite. He said He would. He said He would in regard to the words that we use. He said He would in regard to our taking money from one another in a wrong way. He said He would in regard to our lust. It's going to come back and it's going to get you. He said He would in regard to booze and liquor. It's just going to come back and it's going to get you. Number five, God will requite in regard to wicked friendships. 2 Samuel 13:3 tells a story about Amnon and Jonadab, a so-called friend. It says, but Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. Here's a story. Amnon had an attraction for his own stepsister. Jonadab was a very wicked friend. Jonadab goes to Amnon and he says, listen, if you like your stepsister, sleep with her. That's what this so-called friend talks and convinces his friend to do. Amnon listens. Amnon says, well, I want my stepsister. I'll have my stepsister. And he sleeps with her. And he forces her. He had what he called fun for a moment. And it was influenced by a wicked friend. You know what? Amnon seemed to get away with it. You know, the whole story seemed to get away with it. Everything seemed to turn out fine. But let me tell you something. 2 years later, his own brother gives the order and his buddies kill Amnon. Why? God will requite. Proverbs 13:20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Let me tell you something. If your friends are fools, you might want to get away from them. Listen to what the verse says. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. It just doesn't say the fool shall be destroyed. It said the companion of the fool. The companion of the fool. God will requite. Judas, the disloyal backstabber, two-faced, found some friends who had given 30 pieces of silver to be disloyal to Jesus. The dirty money tied him to these wicked friends. But with the same rope that tied their dirty friendship together, Judas hangs himself. Why? God will requite. Disloyalty never turns out right. Never does. It never does. Evil people who hurt people will be hurt. That's just all there is to it. Evil people who hurt people will eventually be hurt. Hey, and as I started out the sermon today, boy, I hope nobody has to face the consequences of a sermon like this. But you be sure, evil people who hurt people will be hurt, period. Because God will requite. You say, wonder if nobody knows. You got it all wrong. God already knows. I didn't get caught. Yes, you did. You're already caught. You're already a part of God's workload. The work order's already been called for. You will pay for it. Because evil people who hurt people, God will requite. People who hurt people will live a hurt life.
Let me go on. We're not far from the end. God will requite in regard to our selfishness. Listen, Job 21, verse 7, 8, 9, it says, "Wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, are mighty in power? Their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear. Neither is the rod of God upon them." Here the Bible is talking about evil and stingy people. People with influence. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about people with clout. It says, oh, they're going to have children and their children are going to look good and have nice things and they're going to live in a nice house. It talks about a safe house. But let's go on. Same chapter, Job 21, a few verses later. It says, they spend their days in wealth. It goes on in Job chapter 21, verse number 15. Then they say, what is the Almighty that we should serve Him? And what profit shall we have if we pray unto Him? You see, they have so much and they've gained so much and they're so stingy, they don't even think they need God. They don't even know where it all came from. Then it says, God steps in. And finally, in verse number 17 of the very same chapter, it says, how oft is the candle of the wicked put out? And how oft cometh their destruction upon them? God disturbeth sorrows and in anger. And what their candles put out, you know what that means? God begins to diminish their influence, maybe even to the point of death. Destruction begins to come, but they live a very sorry, sorrowful life. And here's the worst part about it. It starts out, here's somebody that has a lot, and they have the nice houses, and the nice clothes, and nice everything, and they're stingy, and they won't give. And they don't need to give to God. They don't need to give their prosperity back to God. And it starts out, and it says, sorrows in His anger, that angers God. Now, let me tell you something. I wouldn't want to anger God. You know, the greatest sacrificial givers in any church are not usually the wealthiest people. It's usually the common people who know they need God. Often the wealthy are the stingiest. But God will requite. Hey, God will requite in regard to someone rejecting Jesus Christ as Savior. John 8:24 says, if you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Mark 16:16 at the end it says, he that believeth not shall be damned. If you reject God's gift of the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son, God will requite. And you say, is God that kind of a God? Oh, God is a loving God. But let me tell you something. You reject Jesus Christ as Savior, you're going to die and burn in hell for all eternity. That's God's word. That's God's word. God will requite. God will requite in regard to our words. If we lie, if we're deceptive, if we're evil against people, God will requite it when we get money the wrong way and we use and we hurt people. God will requite in regard to our lust and our sexual misbehaviors. God will requite in regard to booze and liquor and alcohol. God will requite in regard to wicked friendships. And God will requite in regard to our selfishness and hoarding money to ourselves. There are needy people. Hey, when you force the people with nothing to be the giver that keep a church going, when you have plenty but you won't give sacrificially, God said, I'm watching. God will requite all the way to the point of if people reject Jesus Christ as personal Savior, God said, I will step up. There'll come a day when you'll be cast into everlasting punishment. Adonai Bezek, how's it going? I'm the king. I mean, I'm on top side right now. I've got money, I've got power, I've got influence. Hey, watch this. Come eat with me. Come eat with me. Sitting at a table, filet mignon. Eating the best, has the best. Best of the cheese, best of the wine, best of everything. He's got 70 conquered kings. They've got scars all over their body where He's abused them. He's cut off their toes. He's cut off their thumb. He takes food and spits it on the ground where He didn't eat it all. And the kings run over like little animals and gobble up the food to stay alive. And He said, look at me! I got these dirt ball people under my feet. I've got it made! They said, there's an army that comes on the horizon. He said, let's go knock the snot out of them. Let me go take another one down. Let me hurt somebody else. He went out and got there and found out he'd taken on a foe that was a little bigger than him.
Next thing you know, he's got his tail between his legs and he's running. He's fleeing for his life. They caught him. And according to the scripture, which means God was in it, they said, off come your thumbs and off come your toes, and they let him bleed to death. Right before he died, probably in a puddle of blood, he said, God caught up to me. I didn't get away with it. God hath requited. So you know, God will requite. That's not a warning from me. That's a warning from the one who wrote this book. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, I'd get saved. Why? Because there really is a hell, and you really will go there if you don't get saved. Could I recommend that we not live our life hurting other people, being evil, because God will requite. God will. You say, I fooled you, didn't I, Brother Owens? Maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but I'll tell you who you didn't fool. God. You say, I fooled my husband, but you didn't fool God. I fooled my wife, but you didn't fool God. I fooled my parents, but you didn't fool God. I fooled the school, the Christian school, but you didn't fool God. He knows. I got away with it. Nah, lied my way out of it. No, you didn't. God will requite. Can I tell you the best thing in the world to do is get it right as fast as you possibly can. Get it right. Get to your knees quickly. Say, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Forgive me. You can cut the reaping process down a bit. Let's respect God and realize we have an ever-watching God. He's a holy God. May I also remind you, do right, and that will come back to you. Doing right has a boomerang effect. It comes back to you too. You do good. You use good words. You tell the truth. And that will come back to you. Hey, you give and you give sacrificially. That will come back to you. You treat people right. You be forgiving. Instead of trying to hurt people financially, help people financially. Instead of trying to help yourself, help somebody else. That'll come back to you. Boy, you'll reap. Oh, good will come back to you. God will requite both good and God will requite bad. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads back.